We're talking weather and other things while we let the music play a little bit, yeah. Michael. You'll see the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. And, of course, we are starting a little late because of rain delays during the White Sox games. I have to say, Andrea, yes. Listening to the weather report, and maybe I'm the only one, we'll go around the horn and see what people think. I'm kind of excited about kind of 69 degrees, 71 degrees.
Oh, my gosh, I know. I am, too.
I shouldn't, though, because it's the harbinger of fall.
I like fall.
It's a decline
don't you?
Of warm weather. I do like fall.
I like fall a lot, and I love sleeping with the windows open.
I agree.
Yeah.
As I think you and I have talked about this, every fall, we've said that now I get to pull my boots and sweaters out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I was just looking at them today.
Were you looking at you're like, hey, boots, how
you
doing? You
know what, you guys, though? I got a pedicure yesterday.
Oh, you want to stretch out that summer look.
Right, so I got to stretch it at least through September, I'm thinking.
You wear boots with the cutout.
Michael, where are you?
I can't wait for the fall to get here. It's my favorite time of year. And I just bought two new shirts that are long sleeve from Amazon, and that's not going to work out with 80-degree weather. So I'm very excited.
There you go. Yeah.
And it's going to be this way through next Monday as well. We don't get back up into the 80s until maybe mid to late next week, if at all. But we have 69, 70, 71, 69, 72.
Definitely still sandal weather, but you have the option. Ez and I have the option of wearing our boots.
There you go.
Michael, I think, can comfortably wear his long sleeve shirts. If we could just make sure that our wardrobe is and our fashion sense is tailored to by the weather, that would be really helpful.
Do you guys do I love wearing white jeans. Do you guys do the whole Labor Day? Like Johnny Putman, Johnny Putman would be like, you know, you do not wear white at 12:01. On the Tuesday after Labor Day.
I think fashion bets are off these days.
Good. Good, because I just washed my white jeans.
There you go. I don't have any white jeans. I have a white jean jacket. I think, do you have a white jean?
Oh, yeah, wearing one.
Yeah, I have a white jean jacket. I think that looks great, especially with that dress. That looks nice.
Plus, it's so cold in here always.
It is very chilly. Have you guys ever seen the photos at Lincoln Park Zoo where they have the turn of the century, how people used to, you know, would go to the zoo in the summertime? If you go in the lion house, the cat house, they've changed it now. It's no longer, you can no longer go in there and see the lions. The outdoor area is the same.
Okay.
But inside, because they're doing so much construction, that's where you go for visitor information and for a stroller and wheelchair rental. And they have a couple other like exhibits, but no animals in there anymore.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I don't know if it's permanent, but like the bobcats are still outside. Mm-hmm. So maybe the indoor, sort of habitat is just not viewable anymore. But so they have these huge photos of Lincoln Park Zoo throughout the history. And they show one from like the early 1900s. And the women are wearing, you know, like the bustles and the corsets.
Right.
And I was just thinking, and it was so hot when we went on Sunday. I thought, I can't even imagine. I was wearing like a tank top and a skirt.
Right.
Can you, I mean, as far as like culture goes, so my point being, you can wear white because we no longer have to wear bustles.
Very That's good. I love saying. It. I'm all on board for that.
I just think we've evolved past that.
I am so on board
Sorry,
for that.
Johnny.
Sorry, Johnny. I had a friend get married, a very dear friend, right out of college, and she wanted a like vintage, kind of an old-fashioned type wedding, and we had the button-up velvet dresses. I'm not kidding you. There was like a,
oh dear.
You know, 50 buttons from your belly button on up to your neck. I swear to God, Patty, it's June, and it was probably 80 degrees. It was in Memphis, and everyone's just, you know, dripping with sweat. We had to wear the gloves and everything, too.
No.
Yeah,
in June?
And then it was so.
Come on.
It was so.
Does she
hot.
Hate you?
Yeah. It was so awkward. It was so. The dresses. It was a green velvet, so it was a cool material, but so old fashioned. And here's just the kicker of all of it, because I thought I can't wait to someday show pictures of this because it's so weird and outdated. And the photography studio that she hired, it was tragic. They had a fire, so she lost her. And this is back when there wasn't digital,
right?
So it was all prints, and she lost all her photos.
And green velvet is a Christmas wedding.
I know.
Come on, with gloves and my wedding was in July, and it was very hot. It was very and
sleeveless.
Mine was just a short sleeve. My dress, but I did have I had a very big dress with a long train.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't feel too badly. I don't remember struggling too much with the heat. I mean, you could see in the photos we were all a little, you know, pink from the heat.
Yeah.
But the groomsmen, of course, were wearing tuxedos.
Sure.
And Mr. Jones, one of the guys in the bridal party, Steve's distant relative, was very adamant that none of the men take off their jackets.
No, that's cruel.
Oh, yeah.
The guys always take off their jackets.
He said if the women are wearing these beautiful dresses and the wonderful shoes, the least the men could do is keep their jackets on.
Oh, that's mean. That's mean. I feel bad.
He shamed all of them into making them keeping their jackets on. Yeah, it's so funny to me. Yeah, that's what's one of those. It's one of those fashion things. I think we all have those little quirks.
Oh yeah.
But I don't think that. Yeah. Again, going back to the wearing white after. So I've seen some jokes online about that.
Yes, I think I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
All right, good.
Yeah.
Plus, I got the pedicure, so I have to
go
have
for it. But I love the confidence you have to have white jeans.
I know. I love my white jeans. They're so comfortable.
Oh, well, see, that makes a difference.
Yeah, they do.
But I'd be afraid of sitting and stuff all the time.
Oh, yeah. I never thought of that.
I'm sorry.
I mean, I just go from my car to here, so.
I know, but I don't mean to make you feel... You have never had an issue with it, so I'm sure it's fine.
No. I don't think I have, unless no one's told me. I mean,
no, I've never...
If I sit in mud or something or chocolate.
I don't know what you would sit in now. That's just my brain. That's how my brain works. I always think if I wear white, I will spill something on it or sit in something.
Yeah.
Or other accents.
Coffee.
Oh, coffee, please. Red wine. I'm like a magnet for all of those things.
Grease.
Yeah.
Speaking of being a magnet for those kinds of accidents, I haven't had a chance to tell you guys this story because everything's been happening. You know, we've been off on and off together on vacations and then Declan's surgery. But when we traveled to London, we went through Dublin, then Cardiff, and we took a train into London. And when we got off on the platform near our hotel, we got off and I see this guy stumbling and I know what's going to happen. And I try to get out of the way and this guy pukes all over my feet.
Oh, no.
And I turned to Griffin. I go, well, welcome to London. And Griffin goes, that could have happened in Chicago. And I said, no, you know what? And yet, in my and yet, it's never happened to me.
Right.
It's never.
What are the chances?
I had puke feet getting hurt.
God. It only happened to me one time at the Mardi Gras, but that was years ago. And that's expected.
Yeah. You may as well, you have to wear galoshes when you're at Mardi Gras.
Oh, I left my shoes there.
Oh, did you? Yeah,
I did.
That seems.
Yeah.
I put mine, I took them. They were, they're these shoes that are kind of like, they're for water. I don't know why I just ended up wearing them. I wasn't wearing socks, thankfully, because I would have thrown those away.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was all over my ankles, my shoes, all over in my shoe.
Oh, was he apologetic?
No, he was. No. He was three sheets.
Oh, he was wasted.
He was gone. Yeah, he was absolutely gone. And I kept calling I was like, I got puke feet. I was walking through the train.
Were you close to the hotel
yeah,
where you could go?
We
okay,
close.
So you could change. At least
I couldn't stop rinsing my feet off.
Oh, I wouldn't either.
We had one of those shower handle you can take sort of the shower head
right.
that you could use as a hose, and I was like, I can't leave the shower.
Oh,
I have puke feet. Sorry, everybody. Maybe it's a little bit much for after the White Sox game.
No. That's interesting though, because it's funny because your son said, "Well, that could happen in Chicago,"
nope.
And you're like,
"Never has." I've seen people lose it at comedy clubs. One time I was doing a show in Rapid City, South Dakota, and there was a guy sitting in the front row. He didn't even get up, just all over himself.
Oh.
I mean.
Why?
I was in, you remember those moments. I'm going to remember puke feet in London.
Right.
I remember Rapid City down his shirt. I was in Columbus, Ohio, and a guy was stumbling out all over a table in front of me. Yeah, maybe it's me. Maybe they just.
They're attracted to you. It's like, I have to be sick. Where's Patty Baskets?
Yeah. And there have always been those situations. It's always men. I don't know if we're just quicker to get to the bathroom.
Right.
To take care of it. And like, you know. And
or we just don't do it.
Or we don't. Yeah. I've heard women in the bathroom like, could somebody just hold my hair back? Then have a stall door locked. I've seen women lying on the floor in public bathrooms.
Okay,
I always feel
awful.
So. Oh, my.
Well, they're cleaner. For the most part.
But you know they have their head in a place that most of us won't even
sit. Exactly. That's
the thing, right?
No, you won't even sit.
Yeah.
So then it's cleaner because no one sits there.
Let alone right.
Okay. The weirdest thing I've ever heard from one of my nieces, my niece Allison, we were at Great America and she came out and she's like, I have to wash my hands. I have someone else's pee all over them. And I said, why?
How did that happen?
She sits on her hands in public bathrooms because her mother taught her that.
Okay, that's
awful.
So
she just goes blindly like bloop,
just sits down,
right on the
sits on her hands.
Awful. I mean I taught my goddaughter who was at the time, you know, when she was very little and started using the bathroom, we'd go, you know,
hover.
Well, she was so little, I would always put toilet paper on the seat, and I said, anytime, and she said, why are you doing that? I said, anytime you're not at your house, you do this. You know, just to be sanitary. I mean, she's a kid, you know, and we should all do that.
Yes.
You know, or squat. And she's too little to squat at that point.
Exactly. Unless you have the handicap rails.
I used to do that. Put the toilet paper on. That's what my mom showed me. And now I'm just like, whatever.
Oh, you don't, you just.
Pee is
gross.
No, it's, well, I mean, yes, but it's not bad or something.
Michael is so uncomfortable Michael is so, he's like, I don't, this was not on the schedule. He's looking at topics.
I'm fully comfortable.
We're talking about Colin Kaepernick. That's much more comfortable.
If I see it wet, I'm going to wipe it down.
Well, that, okay.
I'm just going to plop down. I'm like, it's wet.
That's what I was going to say is I will sometimes wipe things down, like wipe it down. I'll take a whole wad of toilet paper. And if I have like hand sanitizer, I'll put it on the toilet paper. And
all right, see, that's good.
Yes.
At least you're wiping it down.
See, and whenever I'm in an airplane, because I can't, there's only so long I can hover.
My friend has a theory about, you know, when you're at the airport and there's the little plastic that goes around.
Yeah, I think it's the same piece of plastic.
Yeah, that's what she said too. Yep. She's like, I bet it's the same piece of plastic that just goes around in a circle. Yep.
I will go back with a purple marker and I'll mark it. I'm gonna do some research for you if it comes back around.
Please do, because I always wondered if that was true or not.
I actually did that joke one time in front of the guy who invented that. He was not pleased with me.
Oh.
I did. Oops. Let's take a break here. We're going to talk to Reverend Livingston, who you may remember from our show several weeks ago. And of course, you've heard his name in the news. He led the protest on Lakeshore Drive near Wrigley Field. He also, on Monday, was out at O'Hare Airport.
Yeah, and he got arrested, too.
He did get arrested. And we want to talk about that because I knew he was going to be excited yesterday. So I'm sure he's got some thoughts on Mayor Emanuel announcing that he will not be running for re-election. Mm-hmm. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. Give us a call or text us anytime, 312-981-7200. This is your conversation. We're talking with you, not at you. More in a moment. Over the last several weeks, Reverend Livingston has been organizing some protests to call attention and demand better protection for those of us who are, we're just tired of gun violence in Chicago. And one of the things he's been demanding is that Mayor Rahm Emanuel step down. Andrea, were you out covering the, because I know that there were...
The Labor Day protest. No, I was not, but I was watching it as it was happening. And I saw Reverend Livingston getting arrested. But I have to tell you, right beforehand, you know, as always, and I've said from the beginning that the planning, there was planning, there was staging, there were press conferences, you know, there were, people knew what was happening. This wasn't, you know, I know it was staged and that's a good thing. But then I saw Reverend Livingston saying, all right, they're about to make arrests. Anyone who, you know, step back. So there was, again, clear direction, even with the arrest.
Reverend, I loved seeing that footage as well. I saw you were like, hey, everybody, if you don't want to be arrested, back away. How are you doing tonight, Reverend?
I'm great, Patty. Andrea, always great to be rapping with you guys.
Thanks, Reverend.
So I emailed you yesterday. I was in the middle of my son's physical therapy and my phone buzzed. I had an update that said that Mayor Emanuel would not seek re-election. And I messaged you not long after. I'm guessing your phone was also ringing and you were getting all kinds of alerts. People want congratulating you. I know that you feel as though you had some something to do with this announcement. Is that your sense?
Yeah. It makes sense. You know, there were a lot of us who were involved in all this. And, you know, I just thought we were in the right. So we just kind of stayed on the case and would not give up.
I think that there were a lot of factors in Mayor Emanuel stepping down. I think that the job has to take its toll. Maybe he has other plans in mind. But, you know, the reason I wanted to talk to you tonight, you know, more so your thoughts on the current field of candidates and who you are. Is there anybody right now that stands out to you that will really step up for the city of Chicago in all its communities?
Not yet, but I think because, you know, with this huge campaign coffers and the like, that being kind of out of the way. This gives the other candidates a lot more freedom and even more hope in terms of fundraising and just not having to go up against an incumbent.
Is there
We see the best come out in these candidates and the best candidate emerge.
And now Reverend too. We had Troy on last night. We're gonna have Paul Vallis on tomorrow. We've had Lori Lightfoot on. I think the candidates now who are in the race, and I think we're yet to see more even declare now, which Paul Vallis had an interesting reaction
that
to
quote,
that too.
Yeah,
on Twitter. But the candidates who are there now, is there one or two or three, anybody that kind of stands out, the ones that are in there right now, Reverend, that you would maybe, I don't want to say throw your full support behind, that kind of are catching your eye at this point?
I would still say no one, and I'll tell you why. We're preparing to go in the courtroom because, you know, Rahm, he's still the mayor. He's still getting a paycheck, and we're really concerned about that TIF money, that $1.5 billion. So we're going to be starting some TIF litigation to block Rahm's access or to take the money away from him so he doesn't, on his way out, spend it on cronies and political paybacks. So I'm interested in what some of these candidates have to say about that, because I'm sure they would like to have a slush fund if they become mayor, or maybe they won't. But I want to hear what they have to say about that.
You, of course, have been organizing the protests to draw attention to what's going on in some of our most disadvantaged communities. First, I wanted to ask you, what was the response from the community? Because I was happy that my neighborhood did not do anything. I was worried about a bigger conflict. I was worried about violence, and that did not come to fruition. But what was your sense from the people who were there to counter-protest? Because it seemed like there were some folks out there.
Well, I'll tell you what, HBO had me wired with a mic, and there were some things that were said that I wouldn't repeat over your mic right now, you know.
Yeah, so, I'd heard that happened, yes.
Yeah, but and whether or not the HBO mic picked it up or not, I don't know, but, you know, it's nothing new, and it is what it is, and it's one reason we're out there, because you know, we're just trying to liberate all of us and bring us all together as one people, one Chicago. So it's part of the sacrifice in doing that.
Well, tell us why you chose the northwest side of Chicago, because a lot of people in my neighborhood were like, why is he going to shut down the Kennedy? It's not basically kind of saying, as we've had it on the show before, listeners who call in and say it's not my problem.
Right.
Why should, you know, why bother us with it?
Yeah, you know, our real target was the O'Hare International Airport, one of the great commerce centers on the planet. And so, we wanted to shut down the Kennedy in order to disrupt traffic, not just to inconvenience travelers. You know, it's a real sacrifice to make people uncomfortable, to inconvenience them. It's a real sacrifice to be misunderstood and disliked. But we were doing it for the greater good, because I know the Hyatt Hotel people, they had met, they talked about they had five different hotels between Cumberland and O'Hare and everything, and so reservations might go down. People would cancel because they wouldn't be involved in a mess. And then you had airline schedules that, you know, that are inflexible. I had a reporter from Beijing called me earlier before the actual Labor Day demonstration saying, what about international flights? Those schedules don't change. And so there was a lot of that. I understand that the mayor's phone was just bumping off the hook, because many of these airline executives and cargo people and contractors and workers and the like, you know, were calling about what do we do to stop this from happening. And so people were wondering about our numbers. And really, I'll be very honest with you. I always told folks we just want enough folks to achieve our objective. And the reason I say that, you know, from being a pastor, I've learned, and this is not just a pat phrase, but I've learned, it's not so much about counting people as it is making people count. And we had a diverse group of people there, which was really awesome. I thought it showed, you know, the great demographics of Chicago not being segregated but coming together for a unified cause. And so when we got arrested, then all of a sudden, you know, we prayed. And we actually even prayed for rain, believe it or not.
Oh, yeah.
And so we had like a Noah thing going mm-hmm. on, you know what I mean? Everything shifted. And so if I can say it like this, what we didn't do, you know, God did for us. And again, I'm not saying this with any kind of glee or joy, but 415 flights were canceled. You know, really with the troopers, about 500 cops on the side where we were. Then there were cops also up by where we were talking about going for folks exiting O'Hare. You know, traffic was already messed up with Department of Correction coach buses down there and State of Illinois, highway trucks down there. Traffic was already a mess. And then with the flooding, you know, it was like, wow. So we just said, oh, wow, this is like Noah, you know. So then when the flood ceased and the rainbow came that morning, we had great joy because then Rahm announced that he wasn't running again. So it was like, mission accomplished.
Revan, you said something and at the end of one of your interviews, I think it was as you were being arrested, and I heard Channel 9 with the camera right there, you said words to the effect of, we're just getting started. This is the beginning. So I'm curious, can you give us a preview of what might be next?
Without a doubt, it's going to be the TIF litigation. Rahm has $1.5 billion. The Neighborhood Opportunity Fund has spent about $11.4 million on the south and west sides of Chicago, but it's spent about $841 million in the loop. And again, I love my city. I love my downtown, the skyline. I love everything about it. It's not about taking away from that so much as it is not just doing that, but also doing the other parts, too, in terms of the residential. And so, you know, we want to, but we have to take the money from him because he's still Rahm. You know, he may cry, he may be sad, but, you know, they're going to make him chair. I know he met with Obama a couple of weeks ago, and so they're going to make him chair of the Democratic National Committee. He and his brother, Ari, will go around having celebrity fundraisers. He's going to raise hundreds of millions of dollars, have a lot of influence on a lot of races throughout the country. So he won't miss a meal. But we're worried about the people that are missing meals right now.
Some of the candidates in the race have, of course, you know, laid out what their plans are. And so far, my sense is, you know, one like Gary McCarthy has his experience in law enforcement and his take on what that means. Troy was talking about education. You know, Lori Lightfoot has experience, again, working with, you know, dealing with law enforcement in that perspective. What do you think will be the, you know, the qualifications that what we need as a city, a balance of all the different aspects that it's going to take to achieve at least a step forward and in the right direction?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, President Preckwinkle was mulling the idea about running for mayor, and someone like her who has run something like Cook County, she'll stand head and shoulders, you know, literally and figuratively above many of the candidates. And in terms of being able to actually govern and run an entity like the city of Chicago. But, yeah, they all have their specialties, and no one goes into the mayor's spot in Chicago, just like being a parent. Nothing prepares you for that except doing it, right? And so it's on-the-job training. And so it should be very interesting when we have the debates and the question, and they put forth pat answers. But the engagement among the many of them, I don't know how these debates are going to work out. I'm sure a lot of people will get knocked off the ballot and drop out before, you know, by the time we get there. And even then, you know, you have people with seasoned political organizations, no matter what their troubles might be, like Dorothy Brown. You know, you have people that are self-funded, like Willie Wilson. You have someone like Gary McCarthy, whose motivation is kind of been taken away in some ways because Rahm is dropping out, because we know Gary wanted Rahm. You know, Paul Vallis, you know, he's a person that's been involved in government and, mm-hmm. and education and the like. You know, Troy, principal of a school and principals association. You know, there's quite a few folk, and it's going to be interesting in terms of how they actually are able to show everybody in a limited amount of time, because the more of them there are, the more limited their time is. And they're going to have to raise a lot of money, because Rahm already had the television and the app, you know, all those things locked up because he had the cash to do it. So now that's wide open. Everything has changed.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us. It has changed significantly, and I know that you'll continue to draw attention to the needs of communities that are really begging for, demanding better in Chicago, as we all are. Everyone has something at stake. There's none of us that go unscathed.
We all live in the city. We all pay property taxes. We all have issues. Yeah. We all have things going on, so absolutely.
So thank you, Reverend Livingston, for joining us, and we look forward to talking to you again soon. I know the weather kept you from hanging out with us in studio, so maybe next time.
To the wonderful queens of the night, I say thank you as always.
Thanks, Reverend.
Again, that's Reverend Gregory Livingston joining us tonight. Talk to you again soon. We've got to run to the news, and we are going to have a conversation about the Nike campaign, which, of course, is drawing a lot of attention. And I'm fascinated by the whole thing. It is time now for our news, which is sponsored by Lindeman Chimney and Fireplace here. Oh, wait, that was for 11:30. Well, I'm sure that they would have like to have sponsored that, but we had a rain delay. Thank you for joining us. It's the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. We were talking in the last half hour to Reverend Livingston, and before we talk about the Nike ad campaign, Anthony wanted to share some thoughts about the protests. And Reverend Livingston, what do you want to say, Anthony?
Oh, hey, Patty. You know, I just listened to that Reverend take such joy in that flights were canceled and people had their weekends interrupted, and he felt kind of cheated that he wasn't able to do it himself. Thank God the weather was there.
Yep.
I mean, really? And you want people to be endeared to your cause?
Well, first of all, let's just be clear on one thing. The flights were canceled because of the weather, not the protest. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what I said.
Yeah.
I said he was thankful that, thank God, the weather came in because he wasn't allowed to do it himself directly.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Because they were blocked from getting on the Kennedy. No, you make an interesting point, Anthony. I appreciate it.
And then, you know, Patty, also, for some reason, they're always asking for more money in these neighborhoods. Where all this crime is taking place, over 80% of the residents are on government assistance, which eats up a lot of any available cash they would have to put into those communities.
Where can I find that number, Anthony? What's the research on that?
Oh, Patty, it's pretty obvious.
Have
you ever driven through those neighborhoods?
Wait, Anthony, I mean, obvious and
I think
factual.
He talked to everyone in those neighborhoods.
Factual, yes. Anthony's spoken to everybody there. Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Well, I mean, you can argue the point. I mean,
that 80%? Yes, I will. I will definitely argue the point that 80% of the people, I find that hard to believe, especially because you're just saying it's obvious by driving through them.
Well, where's the money coming from?
There's government. Anthony, hold on a second. Did you know? So I live in Jefferson Park, and people are resisting the development of a building that will be for mixed income and for veterans and for the disabled. And the thing is that 52% of the residents in Jefferson Park actually qualify for government assisted living. And many of them take advantage of that. So that's 52% in Jefferson Park.
There are 80% in Englewood isn't too
I got that number from the government. So if you could give me what neighborhood you mean, and maybe we could do the research on it and find out what the percentage is.
Englewood, for example.
Okay.
If there are 52% on assistance in Jefferson Park.
No,
it's just a simple deduction there.
52% qualify. My guess is, you know what? Here's the thing, James. I'll bet you more do qualify in Englewood. That doesn't mean that everybody's receiving it. Those are two different things. But if you can provide that, you know, James, do some research and let us know.
Well, all I'm trying to point out that he mentioned that the Loop is getting a lot more money than these neighborhoods, for example.
Okay, the
Loop gives you a return on that investment. You know what I mean? I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but you get money back for that investment.
I'm doing a Google search on welfare stats, by the way.
Yeah, we'll have to get those numbers for Anthony. But Anthony, I will say this. One of the things that I took away from a lot of the conversations that I was honored to hear on the floor of our state legislature, and I do encourage people to go to il.gov, and you can watch our legislators talking about the programs and the state and education and safety and things like that. Senator Katowski on the floor of the Senate once said, when you invest in people, you save lives. And I know that that is sort of a really grandiose statement, and we have to figure out what that means. But that doesn't mean just people in Englewood or just people in Jefferson Park or just people in Kane County or people in central Illinois. But it means that if we are invest in each other, we should be responsible for each other. And the people in Englewood are our neighbors, too. So maybe you're right in the sense that a lot of people are getting government assistance and it's not working that way. But we should figure something out. And perhaps it doesn't come across the way it should when Reverend Livingston talks about investment in downtown and not investment in Englewood. But there has to be some way forward, because what's happening now is not working the way it's going. The TIF funds are not helping those neighborhoods. They're disproportionately helping other neighborhoods. I know that schools in Edgebrook and in Old Irving, they're all getting additions while we're closing schools in Englewood. So there is something amiss.
But aren't those neighborhoods generating more tax revenue than other neighborhoods? You know what I'm saying? You've got to give people back something for their tax dollars, too. I mean, you can't just say, we're not going to give you anything because you're already doing okay, even though you're paying into this. We're going to give it over here.
And you've
got to find some balance there.
And you know that we've talked about this, that those neighborhoods for generations have isolated themselves from people that they did not want in their communities. Like in Norwood Park, people don't necessarily, for a long time, would not publicize that they were selling their homes because they wanted to keep it in the community. They wanted just people who drove through to buy them. So, you know, the economic development that's happened in a lot of neighborhoods has been reinforced by kind of codifying the way we make sure certain people live in certain neighborhoods. When this protest was coming up, people were posting on social media from my neighborhood going, they're coming. They're coming to our neighborhood. It's all over. And who's they?
Right. But I think different people are against the protest or for them for different reasons.
Yes,
I agree. Everybody has different reasons.
Well,
you know, I would be against it because it would block my traffic.
Why not protest in the neighborhoods that were having the trouble? Why are you protesting by the airport?
They do. They have They shut down the Dan Ryan.
In fact, there was a protest we covered in Gage Park last week, too.
But you're affecting people who aren't part of the problem when you go to O'Hare Airport. You're just, maybe that's the only weekend a family's got together for the whole summer, and you're hoping to throw a wrench in that. I don't get that.
I can
see
that
side of it. They haven't caused you any problems.
I can see that side of it, too. I mean, I can truly see both sides. You know, someone trying to make an impact on a neighborhood that they don't live in so they can bring awareness to it. But I can definitely see that side of it, too. You're disrupting my neighborhood. You're disrupting my flight or my day or my traffic.
But do you know how ridiculous that sounds?
Oh my god,
I can't go have lunch now.
No,
I'm sorry. All these people are really suffering in these neighborhoods aren't being listened to.
I completely take exception with that.
I'm sorry, your lunch is bothered.
No, it's not a lunch thing. It's trying to get to work. You know, that's where I can see the side of it, where I'm trying to get to work. Yes, I understand change. There has to be change. But when I'm trying to get to work to actually make my living, that's where I get frustrated on a personal level. You know, so it's not, I'm going to lunch, I'm not going to the Palmer House, you know, it's just, I'm trying to get to work and I'm going to be delayed now 2 hours.
So
that side I could absolutely see.
I think that, you know, the suffering that goes on in the neighborhoods that are economically challenged and suffer the most with violence, I understand. And maybe because I plan ahead and I know these things are going to happen, I figure out a way to get where I need to go, or I don't go anywhere. And you know, I'm grateful that people protest. I mean, the president of the United States said protesting should be illegal. And there are people who agree with that because they want to get to work on time. Like Anthony, I had to put you on hold because I needed to be able to make sure we could have a conversation.
Oh, by the way,
thank you, Anthony, for your call. I appreciate it.
I do have a stat. Now,
yes.
This is 2017. Mm-hmm. And this is just a quick search. So this is not, I know there's a lot more research that goes into it. They break down age, race, class, but this is citydata.com about the poverty level in Chicago. He said 80% in one particular neighborhood. That stat is false. Residents with income below the poverty level in 2017 in the entire city was about 25%, which is still very high. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be a quarter of the population living in poverty.
Right, but his number was
80.
His number was 80 that they receive government assistance.
Right,
that they're on welfare.
Right. So if the poverty level is 25%, 80% of the people can't be getting assistance. Yeah.
Yes.
So those. Yeah, I think he was speaking from the heart.
Anthony, you know, and there are a lot of people that agree with Anthony. And Anthony and I have had conversations many times. So, Anthony, it was great to hear from you. I just needed to make sure that we could have a conversation. You know, you started a thought and your perspective, and we appreciate that. I'm guessing Anthony had some thoughts on the Nike campaign. Now, have you seen the ad?
I did. Yeah, I saw it today.
I saw the ad.
I did too. I thought the commercial, the first half of it, I loved.
Mm-hmm.
I really did. I enjoyed seeing people who've overcome challenges and obstacles. And, you know, I didn't know about the football player with one hand.
Or the wrestler with no legs.
Right. The wrestler with no legs. Oh, my God. It brought me to tears. And I loved it. I just didn't like the last part of it.
Which part?
The Colin Kaepernick about how he's overcome challenges. I don't think he
say he overcame challenges or that he risked it all to believe in something. My takeaway.
He risked it all.
Yeah, that it was kind of like that he to believe in something enough that you're willing to turn your back on it. But kind of a idea is what I took on that.
I got to pull it up because I just was watching it before we went on the air. I just didn't like the analogy Colin Kaepernick to compare himself to someone who with missing a hand, mm-hmm. missing two legs. That to me
commercial is the whole range. It's not, I mean, here's a girl who.
Here it is. It says, believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything.
Right.
I don't think Colin Kaepernick has sacrificed everything.
Well, his career. He's gotten death threats. He is definitely the target of a lot of anger and hatred in this country, I think. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to look at it, but every single person that in that ad has a different story, right? Whether
right.
it's a refugee, a little girl who grew up in Compton.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was a great message throughout the whole thing. You can not like the person who does the voiceover, but it's the idea that anything is possible, that you can stand up for what you believe in and turn your back on what you've worked for, and knowing that that was a possibility. That was my takeaway from it. We're still talking about protests. I don't want to leave Donna on hold, but Donna also had some thoughts on protesting. What did you think, Donna?
Well, I have a I don't live in the city. I am in the suburbs. But what I can't understand is instead of protesting and everything's negative, you're blocking stores or you're blocking the expressway, why can't they bring the people to a park? Make a park safer with all the adults flooding it. Clean up a park and use that as your platform.
Don, a lot of people say that as though there's only one way to have a protest. Why can't I want you to protest, but protest the way I want you to isn't necessarily the way things have ever gotten accomplished. It's always been, you know, if it was that, then no one would even know about the park. Oh, they're under a tree.
Right.
The idea is to call attention to really. Move an issue forward, whether it's the lunch counter protest. You know, why do they gotta sit? Why do the black people gotta sit at the counter? Well, because you won't let them eat at the counter. Why does Martin Luther King Jr. have to walk through Cicero? Because you won't let black folks buy houses here or rent apartments. So it's going to be the places that are uncomfortable. That are it's about pushing people and forcing boundaries, and that's. I know it's not comfortable, but that's the only way we can really call attention to things. I don't know. Thank you, though, Donna. Go have a park protest, I guess.
Right.
We have a picnic. We can have a picnic. Thank you, Donna. That's a good point. I know a lot of people make that same observation. And okay, so here's my theory about Nike. I know we don't have enough time. So here's my theory about Nike is that this is a huge marketing ploy for them.
Oh, totally.
Because people are only thinking about the United States. Nike is the biggest athletic wear company in the world.
Yes.
I tried Googling Reebok's stocks and their prices, and Nike did rebound today, by the way. They did drop a little bit yesterday, mm-hmm. but they've been on a little bit of a slide. They were losing part of their market share to Adidas earlier in the year. I've been doing some market research.
Right, right. And a lot of the, didn't a lot of the colleges switch too from one to the other?
Under Armour's been really big too. They've been taking a bite out of Nike's share.
Huge.
So globally though, what do you think people think about President Trump and
I know.
Globally, so you lose a lot of white folks in the United States who may or may not like this. They're burning their shirts and cutting off the swoosh.
Sure. But then I saw a ton of celebrities today though too saying I'm buying Nike clothes, you know, so they're all.
I checked on the day, it was Tuesday when this commercial, when the story came out, Monday or Tuesday. Everything's blurring, but checked on Amazon to see like what the prices were, and I've been watching it the last couple days. The availability of certain shoes had, like, it'll say like one left or not available, and
of Nike. Oh, they're selling out.
Oh, they're doing really well on Amazon.
Wow.
People are ordering their Amazon. So
yeah, I'm going to be interested to see. Okay, so now they're going to air it on the NFL's opening telecast. So that'll be tomorrow. So those who haven't seen it online are going to get to see the full thing tomorrow too.
Yeah.
So
you can check it out online.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see by the end of the weekend how they're doing. You know, because it's so polarizing. I mean, it's all, you know, I've seen just GIFs everywhere just ripping it. I've seen people saying this is great. You know, it's just split.
Absolutely. And it seems as though, and I think this was something that John Williams found, I think on his poll, you know, he does the click.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's half and half.
It
seems pretty split. Whatever you felt before about Colin Kaepernick is where you would fall on this. So I think that it was, and look, we're talking about it. Nike has estimated they've gotten about $50 million in free advertising just by doing this. And I enjoyed the commercial. Let's see. That's from the 870. Why do my shoes have to be politicized? I have a choice of Nike, New Balance, or corrective shoes. Those three fit me well. Here's the thing about that point for you. It's that who's politicizing it, right? Is it Nike by choosing Colin Kaepernick? Did they politicize it, or did they decide to have a narrative to choose? I mean, by choosing Colin Kaepernick, who already had a contract with Nike when he was in the NFL, and they held on to, they retained that contract. Is it the reaction? Are people's reaction politicizing it? You know, that's in the interpretation.
Yeah, I guess it's so subject. It's completely subject to interpretation.
Yeah. So, I mean, they chose a spokesperson, and your feeling about him is what makes it political, not necessarily his mere existence in a commercial. From the commercial, he doesn't mention politics. He doesn't mention anything else. He doesn't even mention that he kneeled. He just said that, you know, to believe in something enough that you're willing to sacrifice it all. From this is going back to the protest before I go to the break. I want to read this one, too, about the protest. Patty, I can tell you that Chicago lost over $30,000 in revenue this week because of the planned protest at O'Hare on Monday. I had a client meeting for 11 people moved to Dallas. Wow, because my client did not want those people flying in on Monday and putting up with the planned shutdown. Although, to be honest with you, they might have avoided the severe weather. So, Reverend Livingston's prayers for rain maybe helped out. Mm-hmm. I'm just spitballing here.
No, I had friends coming back from Florida Monday, and mm-hmm. same thing. Their flights were canceled / delayed because of the rain. But so
there you go.
Was it because of the protest?
It was not because of the protest. Anyway, so let's take a break here. Tell me something good. We can all agree to disagree. I love when Amy Goo says this. You can disagree, but let's not be disagreeable. And that's the way I try to approach these conversations.
Friends.
Well, you asked me earlier, why do people, we were talking about opinions, why people get so upset when you hear someone else's opinion. I don't know if we were having that conversation.
No, but I do agree with that. Everyone has an opinion.
Yeah. Why does someone's opinion make you so angry? Because
if it's not your view,
right?
Maybe.
Yeah. We really have made our opinions our identity, and that's, I think, more than anything else. We can talk about politics and all those other things, but it's got to come down to our own responsibility of how we treat each other when we have these conversations. And I've been working on that for the last 4 years when we talk about things. So let's carry on. Tell me something good. 312-981-7200. You can call or text us. Tell us what made you happy today. More in a moment on the Patty Vasquez Show. Oh, let me do that thing am I supposed to do it now? Or it says that I'm supposed to do it at 57. I thought that was this is the only break. Well, let me see where that is in this. Can I have that sheet of paper that says that I'm supposed to say those things? Okay. Coming up, the stories. Michael's like, you have it. Here's Michael's voice. You have it in front of you.
Oh, because I'm not hearing him talk to you.
You have it in front of you. Don't forget at... Is that a colon or a semicolon? That's a colon.
Wait,
right? It's a two dots is a colon, right?
Oh, yeah. Two dots is don't a colon. Forget, a dot and a comma is a semicolon.
Don't forget at 57. Coming up, the stories that matter with Andrea Darlis from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. More in a moment on 720 WGN. We'll make you happy. We have a dream. We go traveling together. I'll tell you what's making me happy. This cooling off weather. It was so hot over the weekend. I'm one of those people that likes when it rains. It's good sleeping weather. It's going to cool off a little bit. So I'm happy about that. Andrea, what's making you smile tonight?
Oh, gosh. What's making me smile is I would say the cooler temperatures. I think it's something fun.
I know. I'm like stuck for stuff right now. I'm like, that's all. You know, I know that it stinks to like wait for the game to end. But,
I know.
And
I know.
Then I was like, it's raining. Yay.
I know. The fact that we actually got on, we had an hour show.
I had a 17-minute show last Friday.
I know. I remember that. Oh, my gosh. But yeah, I would say that. And
Yeah.
That would be it.
That would be everything. Well, we only got a couple minutes left. Michael, you want to tell me something good?
Yeah, I had a great night tonight. Besides waiting for the game, I'm glad we got on air, of course. It's always good to get on after those Sox games. But I made dinner tonight, and I got to hang out with my brother, so that was my good thing for today.
Actually, I was pleased to run into David Player tonight, who came in to do a little bit of work.
Yeah.
He was in the
he
was in the kitchen. That was very nice to see him.
I'm almost done with season 2 of The Handmaid's Tale.
How far? What episode? How
I
many
think
more
I'm
episodes?
At 10.
Has she had the
I'm on that episode.
All right, I don't want to give anything away.
It's just kind of starting and
The Sinner is really interesting. I wanted to get someone else's take because I had been watching a lot of the episodes on Netflix while watching Declan at the hospital and hanging out with him by his bedside, and I kind of would fall asleep and wake up in the middle of an episode, so it's extremely disjointed, which actually is how the series is shot as well.
Yes.
So I'm having trouble piecing it together, so I have to ask some folks. This is a series that Jen Zanotti recommended, who, by the way, her new podcast, Getting Zen with Gen Z, dropped. It was, what day is today? Wednesday? So this morning?